want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running for another beautiful week here in Brevard County, Florida. We want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. You are tuned into the Refresh Radio Program, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. My name is Bob Arthurs. I've pastored there for going on 27 years. Haven't quite hit there yet. We're in our sixth year of broadcasting. We hit our sixth anniversary sometime late October. And boy, does the time fly. You know, whenever I run into young or parents of young kids, I always have the same advice for them. And that's this: don't blink. Don't blink, because boy, does time fly by. And the older I get, the faster it seems to go. And, you know, I'm just thankful I still have purpose, still have breath, still have the ability in my body, and God's still motivating me to accomplish the things that we are accomplishing on a daily basis. And we really are excited about Merritt Assembly of God. There are some things that are advancing. And for 26 and a half years, we've been working on our structure and, you know, had to come back and do a couple of things again. We're working on getting to that point where we get to focus. We don't have to focus on the building anymore. That's what we are working towards. And I've got people on the board, people in the church that are helping me to get to that point. And the reason that's important is because the word that God gave to me 26 and a half years ago, it was about month number two of the strategy that he gave me. It wasn't the strategy I wanted to hear, but every time we have stepped out in obedience to God, it has proven to be true. And so we're looking forward to next year being a year of expansion and a year where anointing reaches other people's lives in a much more glorious manner. So we're praising the Lord for that. We do want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric today. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. If you want a stable company, a company that's been in Brevard County for decades, that is going to treat you fairly, that is going to get your problem resolved, give them resolved in a positive manner, I might add that. Call the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. They travel all throughout the county. They can handle your electrical problems. They can handle your AC problems. Some of you may be gearing up in case you need your heater that Tuesday in January this year. That's about how, you know, that's my joke. Winter is on Tuesday this year, right about the middle of the morning. If you need somebody to come out seriously and take a look at your air handler, your heater, your electrical, call the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. They've got multiple teams that can come out, resolve your issue quickly, and get you back up and running the way that you are supposed to be. They've done electrical work at our church. They've done electrical work for me in my house. They just have a great, great work ethic, and they will solve your problem. That's a good thing. I like to call problem solvers, not problem makers. Amen? And so Wyrick Air, they'll solve your problem. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So we've got a Sunday. Well, we do have Wednesday night that is returning this week. We've got kids going back to school this week. We are already halfway or almost halfway through the month of August. And we want you to be aware of that. When we get done with August, you realize you're two-thirds of the way through 2019. It is coming that quickly. We've got exciting things that are coming up personally in our lives. So I'm going to be preaching this coming Sunday, the 17th, 18th will be Sunday. That's a very special day. Happy birthday to that very special young lady in my life. Happens to be a daughter. And Friday is my son's birthday. So we have lots of August birthdays. I've got a sister with a birthday in August. My grandmother, grandfather had birthdays in August. My dad's got a birthday in September. Granddaughter, birthday in September. And so we got lots to celebrate going on. But later on this month, we're going to do something that I don't very often do. And that is on Sunday morning, we are going to have an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal speaker. That's going to be on August the 25th. August the 25th. We're going to have a very powerful mission speaker going to present a wonderful opportunity to our church. And so that's coming up on the horizon, August the 25th. Can't give you any more details about that. All I can tell you is that God wants his word preached in all the world. And we really do strive to be a part of his ministry into all the world. So I want to take you today to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to culminate this series. We're going to talk about this verse in Proverbs, and then we'll go to one more passage, and we will conclude our study on Thou Shalt Not Steal. Right now we're looking at why. On Friday we talked about that you and I, we're not supposed to steal. We're supposed to work in order that we can give, in order that we can be a blessing, that we're supposed to be providing the essential edification that the body of Christ needs, and we're supposed to be imparting grace to the hearers. Okay? You can't do that when you're stealing. So today we're going to talk about another passage. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 in verse number 5. It says this: Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Let me read verse number 9 for you one more time. It says, Lest I be full and deny you and say, Who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. There is a very unusual phenomenon that we see in the Word of God, and that is that the children of Israel struggled whenever they were prospering, whenever things were going well, when things were going smoothly. They struggled spiritually when they did not have a reason to fight. They tended to come back to God whenever there was oppression, whenever there was hardship, whenever there was attack, whenever there was a famine. They tended to come back to God during that time, but they had very short memories. And then they would relapse all over again, and they would fall back into hard times after things had gone well. They tended to fall into idolatry whenever things were going well, and then they would come back to the one true God when things weren't going so well. We in America tend to have the same problem. A lot of times we do better spiritually whenever we are experiencing tremendous challenges. Now, I tell you, I believe that God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. But he not only wants to start us on the path of righteousness, he wants to sustain us on the path of righteousness and bring us to the end of our journey as a righteous testimony to the saving and sustaining grace of God. So the words of Agur, the son of Jaca, his utterance, this man declared to Ithiel and Ucal. So that's what we got going on here. You can thank God that none of your names are those things. He says, feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you. So there is a temptation that happens whenever we get to that place where we are no longer hungry, where we're no longer driven. And we tend to get to the place where we look at ourselves as our source instead of the recipient of God's blessings. And he says, when that happens, then we begin to question who God is. Right now, we're in a tremendous season in our society where people are not really pressing in to know God, to know, K-N-O-W, God. We saw when the attack on the Twin Towers came that there were people who were pressing into churches because all of a sudden we realize without God, we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable, but that does not, anytime you are externally motivated in your relationship with God, it is only going to have a temporary effect. We need to be internally driven by the Spirit of God to worship God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We say we've got to acknowledge God at every turn. And he goes on in verse 9 and says, or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So we are talking about why we are not supposed to steal. And the principle that I want to share with you today is that because if there is theft identified with the people of God, the consequence to that is our society profanes the name of God. Again, profane simply means to make common. One translation put it this way, lest I dishonor the name of God. We can't afford to do that. The name of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is so important because it is the name, James chapter 2, verse number 19, it is the name at which every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, James chapter 2, verse number 19. Let me turn it over there so I can share this with you. James chapter 2, Old Bible, worn out pages. James chapter 2, verse number 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal, verse number 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Another translation says, even the demons believe that. And I believe that as I was preparing for this and was praying, that it's very important to realize not every road is going to lead you to the correct destination. There was a time when I had to travel over to Lakeland. It was, I was probably in Florida less than 10 years. I was on my way to the district office. A friend of mine had taken me over there before and had shown me a shortcut. He had gone to school in Lakeland and he showed me a shortcut. So I thought I would follow the shortcut. And something happened. I made a wrong turn someplace. I think I figured out what I did. But something happened, and I ended up going the opposite direction of where I intended to go, thinking I was going the right direction. So there is this tremendous effort on our society to say something along this lines, that it doesn't matter who you worship as long as you are sincere in your worship. Well, I want you to know I was very sincere about getting back home to Merritt Island that day. There was a reason I was trying to take the shortcut. I didn't have time to waste. I needed to get back. There were things that I needed to be doing. I was very, very sincere and very intentional. And yet somehow I ended up going the wrong direction. Here in James, it says that there's only one thing that causes demons to tremble, and that is the manifest presence of the one true God. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. There's no other name like his name. And our conduct, if we are not careful, will speak to our community and tell our community that he's just like every other God. The truth of the matter is, no other God was willing to lay aside everything that he had and go to the cross and die for you. You realize the devil is not willing to go to any hardship whatsoever for you. He is looking to take as much from you as he can possibly get. Jesus is looking to give to us as much as we can sustain. He is not going to give us more than what we can be sustained with. And so to me, that is great reason to want to mature in my faith, is because I want to be able to sustain more blessing so that I can be a blessing to more people. I want to take you to Mark chapter 5. My purpose today is to simply let you know this, that the name of Jesus is holy, that the reason that we don't steal, the reason that we don't lie, the reason that we don't murder, and all of the other things that we don't do is because we want the name of God to be recognized and clearly seen in our community as holy, and that he is the sovereign God. He is the self-existent one. He's God all by himself. No one else even comes close. That's how society needs to see us. They need to see us acknowledging God as the preeminent reason for our life and for our existence, for everything that we do. So let me take you to Mark chapter 5, not Matthew chapter 5. Turn to the wrong book. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. And it says this: Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. By the way, that's the demon talking. Verse number 8, For he said to him, Come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, this is Jesus, What is your name? The demon answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. I want you to understand that demons don't respond to just any name like that. A person who is literally uncontrollable does not suddenly transform and be found sitting and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching and longing desperately to go ahead and learn and follow him and learn from him. But at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name under heaven that is given whereby men must be saved. It is the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus. Jesus has the power to save. Jesus has the power to deliver. Jesus has the power to heal and to set free. No other name. In 1 Kings chapter 17, there were two groups of prophets. There was the prophets of Asherah and Baal. There were 850 of them. There was one prophet of the Lord, and his name was Elijah. And they both went through their routines of worship, but Baal did not answer. So they cried louder, and Elijah taunted them because their God was not responding. Even though they were screaming louder, they were cutting themselves, they were going through all sorts of theatrics, and Baal was unable to respond. And Elijah said a simple prayer. He doused the sacrifice with water, not to make it harder, but because there had been a famine for 3.5 years. There was a sacrifice that was made, not just of livestock, but of the most precious commodity in the land at that time, and that's water. By the way, there's a horrible water shortage going on in that part of the world right now. I watched a documentary on it. It's really intense. It's almost a rallying cry between the nations over there because the water is being used at such a high rate. He offered it and he offered a prayer, and he said, God, you answer. And the Lord answered by fire, eliminated the sacrifice, eliminated the water, the stones were gone, and the people began to cry out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. In Acts chapter 19, verse number 15, there were some sons of Sceva, there were seven of them, and they had been sitting and listening to Paul's teaching, and they encountered a demon-possessed man. By the way, I will tell you, that I believe that there are people with all sorts of issues, but the Bible talks about people that were demon possessed, and I don't believe that demon possession has become an extinct thing. I believe that there are still people who are demon possessed, and I still believe that it doesn't matter if there's one demon or a legion of demons, the name of Jesus is able to deliver. I believe that demons ought to be afraid of the God living inside of us more than we are of the demon that may manifest in our presence. A person said that every time a demon manifest in the Word of God, it left defeated, not victorious. On this particular day, the seven sons of Sceva thought that they would, this is in Acts chapter 19, verse number 15, and they thought they would cast out this demon, and they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, they did not have any personal relationship with him. And the demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And that shows you a little bit about the nature of demonic activity in the legions of hell. They don't even pay attention enough to know your name. They don't care about, they just hate you because of the fact that man was made in the image of God. But I like what it says there. I know Jesus. I respond to Jesus, and Jesus lives in Paul, and so I respond to Paul. And if Jesus is living in you, you do not have to be living in fear of what the devil can do to you. He needs to be living in fear of what God is going to do through you and through me. The God we serve is not a common, ordinary God. He's an extraordinary God. He's a supernatural God. He is an eternal God. And you and I, we need to constantly remember the greatness of our God. When the children of Israel were crossing over into the Promised Land, they had sent spies under Moses. That didn't work out well. They sent spies in under Joshua, and they encountered a lady in Joshua chapter 2 by the name of Rahab. I want you to listen to what Rahab has to say when she has hidden the men up on her rooftop. She's hidden them under stalks of flax. And the people who were trying to find these men had gone out. She had sent them on a wild goose chase. And she brings the men out from underneath their camouflage, their hiding spot. And in verse number 8, she says this: "Now before they lay down, she come up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.'" Do you realize what Rahab said was, "We have been here, and for 40 years, we have been hearing about the greatness of God, that he was going to displace and make a place for you. For 40 years, there has been no courage found in any mighty man in our city. Even though we have fortified cities, more fortified than any other city in our region, we heard about the greatness of God, that your God was greater than Egypt, that your God was greater than Sihon, that your God was greater than Og, and that your God, there was no doubt, was greater than we are. And for 40 years, we have been living knowing this day was going to come, the day that you were going to enter in and you were going to be victorious." And when I preach from this passage, I present it with this mindset, and that is this: where have you been? Where have you been? For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness because of how they perceived the people of the land were looking at them. In actuality, they were looking at the children of Israel as more than conquerors, not their next victim. You are more than a conqueror. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."